or you're watching a porn
madness.
And the boom,
yeah, and the boom comes
into
you're
like,
it.
I was watching.
Yes, I
that.
Was right there in the room,
and then
in Dr. X, as it were. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
And we're back. Hopefully nobody will come into the studio this time. So
I tell you, I don't know, we're a magnet for people busting in and talking.
But not being a guest.
Not being a guest and seeing where we have a mic sitting here.
Not trying to add to a segment. No one's coming in here with discount celebrities. No. That would be awesome. Someone just barged in and was like, Jack Black! And, you know. All right, so I want to kick off with this. I thought this was really interesting. From the BBC News Magazine, the science section.
Okay.
Lucid dreaming. The rise of a nocturnal hobby. Now, that sounds sketchy.
Wait a minute.
So it says...
Put nocturnal in front of anything and it's either
it's
sexy
sketchy.
Or dastardly.
This is neither. It's new age. A slew of apps promise to encourage, quote-unquote, lucid dreaming. So
why
is there such enthusiasm around the idea of controlling dreams, asks Sam Judah. So the quote that starts it off says, you're only bound by gravity if you believe in it. Some old Matrix BS.
Oh, come on.
Yep.
Oh, and you could will yourself taller,
yes.
too.
Yeah, as well. And everything's possible.
Yeah.
Everyone can be,
if you just believe.
Can be tall and beautiful and smart. So Rory McSweeney says he is explaining the logic of a dream world in which he not only visits each night, but apparently has control over. So this is a phenomenon called lucid dreaming.
Okay.
And it refers to any occasion when the sleeper is aware that they are dreaming, but is used to describe the idea of being able to control these dreams. We all saw Inception.
Yeah.
That's what this is. So it
but
used
that's
to be
inserting someone else into your dream.
Well, that's the
or yourself
that's
into someone
taking
else's.
It yeah. like much, much further. But it's basically interest in lucid dreaming has grown, spurred by a spate of innovations from smartphone apps to specialist eye masks. And I say, SkyMall, anyone?
What is an app going to do to help you get into this?
I'll tell you.
All right.
There's an app called Dream On. The most popular of the many new smartphone apps. And basically what it does is it allows you to choose your dream before bed and then plays sound cues once you've entered the right phase of sleep.
All
so,
right.
For example, if you wanted to dream that you were, I don't know, in a rainforest, it would play rainforest noises.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, why not just put rainforest noises on?
But what if you wet your bed?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It could backfire terribly.
Yeah. So... basically, there's that. There's something called the Singularity Experience, Dreams with a Z, and Sigmund and Lucid Dream Brainwave. They all work in the same way. They play audio cues while you're asleep. Not enough to wake you up. It's supposed to trigger, like, the mood of your dream.
How do you know what's going to trigger what?
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't work, but the apps are out there.
All right.
Of course, the Tibetan Buddhists have been doing this since the 8th century.
Of course. Duh.
Duh. Okay, they probably kicked it off in the first place. And people,
but what do they want to dream about?
I think they probably want to achieve enlightenment. But this is about having like a more fun, more interesting kind of a dream. So
entertainment while you sleep.
Yeah, entertainment while you sleep,
because you can't do enough with video games and television and your iPhone.
It's like, leave it alone. Just have a dream. Like, why do people need
Lord.
To control everything? So it says, one person says... that you can find out if you're lucid dreaming or not is to perform a reality test. Hold your nose, close your mouth, and try to breathe. If you're able to inhale, it's a signal that you're inside of a dream. And then you can begin to manipulate that dream. Inception, people.
So you have to do that in your dream.
Yeah. One person says, Carolyn McCready, an artist and regular, you're able to ask yourself profound questions and get answers. I've come to understand a lot of my fears now because I'm able to confront them directly in dreams. People,
no.
You can do that while you're awake. It's called therapy or just thinking. Being introspective.
Concentrating and focusing on something.
Yeah.
How about when you dream and you realize you're dreaming, kind of wake up.
Yeah. It kind of ruins it.
Yeah.
A little bit. It's kind of like when you're watching a film and some bad CG creature comes on and you're like, I'm very aware right now that I'm watching.
Or you're
CG
watching a
madness.
Porn and the boom.
Yeah,
like,
and the boom comes
and you're
into
like,
it.
I was watching
yes, I
that.
Was right there in the room.
And then
in Dr. X. as it were.
Yeah, I got it.
And now the boom has ruined everything.
Dr. X came into the room.
And it's all over.
Right.
So it says, we really don't know if there are any psychological advantages, but I can tell you as a huge entertainment value. It's like going to the movies and not paying for your ticket.
No, it's not at all. It's not at all like going to a movie because there's no quality control. There's no continuity.
I mean, I guess George Clooney could be in it, technically.
You didn't have to pay him.
You don't have to pay him to be there, which is fine. You don't have to go anywhere. I just don't understand.
You can't write a whole script and have snappy dialogue. They're not going to get a Quentin Tarantino pick.
If I could have a dream like a Woody Allen script, I'd be famous.
Right.
I would just wake up and write it down. I don't know why people feel the need to control their dreams. Just have a dream.
Right.
I'd like to be able to... This happens to me a lot. I'm having a dream that's either boring or just bad.
Mm-hmm.
I manage to somehow rouse myself from the dream.
I'm like,
go back to sleep. Bam, I'm right back in it.
It's like I paused it.
This is annoying. Let's work on that.
Yeah, right.
Let's work on the fast forward button in the dream.
The shuffle.
Yeah.
The shuffle feature. That's all you need.
Where I skip past the part with Yeti and leprechauns. So we are now in our celebrity corner, and our first segment this week is The Week in Bateman, where we talk about Jason Bateman, who is an actor that we respect.
We are not sexually attracted to him. We do not want to sleep with him.
No, in no way. We don't even want to see him nude.
Yeah, we think he is decent.
Decent. He's a decent guy, and we like to talk about what he's doing to let people know that there's still decent people out there. Not everybody's Christian Bale.
Yeah, keep your clothes on, Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
And we'll see your movies.
So what's he up to this week? I hope something, because he... generally doesn't really do much.
No, he doesn't. So
did he go outside, have a coffee?
I had to see if anybody else knew what he was doing.
Okay.
And
other
Weegan
Batemans.
I found this question floating out there. Does anyone else like actor Jason Bateman? In parentheses, horrible bosses, the change-up.
They had to say what he does?
Yeah. And then they ask, am I weird?
Oh, no. Someone's coming out of the Bateman closet.
Yeah. Is it normal to like Jason Bateman?
I mean, we've had a couple of guests say that they're really hot for him. We've had two guests. Well, Aussie Motorez and then also Marilyn Summers.
Marilyn Summers. Oh, no. Lauren.
Yes.
Lauren Mall. But back to my question here. This person says also, I do not know why, but I have a huge crush on him for some reason. I suppose I've always liked men in movies who made me laugh, like Jim Carrey, but I was hoping I wasn't the only one. Or am I weird? LOL. And somebody else answered, ha ha ha, I haven't watched Arrested Development. We'll have to check it out. Well, Jim Carrey was the first crush I had when I was younger, but not really anymore. And I agree, Jason Bateman is so likable and cute. LOL.
Oh, no.
So people are kind of peeping out of the...
Yeah, they're kind of mincing around the edges.
Jason Bateman.
Do they know about The Week in Bateman?
I don't think they do.
There's a Tumblr that I've been following through. Our Tumblr that's all Jason Bateman stuff. There's some people out there who love... I mean, there's this guy or girl, I don't know who it is putting up 2 to 3 images of Bateman every day.
How is she finding them?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. But maybe it's him.
Well, a third person piped in.
Maybe this is him, too.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was all Bateman.
Manufacturing his... He's a megalomaniac Bateman.
But he's decent still. Yeah. This other guy says, my wife's crazy about him. Ha, ha, ha.
Why is that funny?
I don't know why.
I think people really don't know how to use LOL.
Or ha, ha, ha. Yeah. They don't know what that is.
Like Angry Birds, like hey.
Well, that's always dirty to me.
Yeah, that's why I'm using it.
Okay.
I'm glad that came across correctly. Yeah. H-E, people, is a nasty,
dirty,
salacious way to laugh online.
It's kind of yucky because you have to then imagine who's saying it if you don't know. So everybody's like, am I weird? Oh, no.
And then other people come on and are like, no, it's all right.
Oh, it says, no, you're not weird. At least not about Justin Bateman.
Oh, once again. Are they thinking Justin Bieber?
No, I don't know.
They clearly put in parentheses some of his most recent films so people wouldn't know who it was.
And how did you know? Because they go on to say, both women and men like him.
What?
He seems so warm and natural and likable.
Uh-huh.
He was good in Teen Wolf. So they were talking about Jason Bateman.
They were
said Justin.
Teen Wolf 2. Teen Wolf 2.
Yeah, I guess so.
The first Teen Wolf is Michael J. Fox.
And then they said Jim Carrey is loud, rude, and obnoxious.
Personally, I find him offensive.
Do you?
No, I've added that on. He seems like someone who sweats a lot, and I'm not really into that. Jason Bateman seems like he'd be soft and powdery.
Yeah.
At all times. He probably has soft feet.
soft hands.
Yeah.
Like no calluses whatsoever.
No calluses.
Trimmed cuticles.
Powdery, very soft.
He smells nice.
He probably doesn't have a scent.
No, I think he smells.
You think he smells nice?
A little, like, nice.
I feel like if he were in the room now, we wouldn't, nothing.
I think he would smell like ivory soap.
Really?
I think he would.
You know what? I think Jason Bateman should put out a cologne called Ode to Bateman.
Ode to Bateman.
Yeah. And it could have hints of decency. Little ivory soap. And then just room smell. Just regular room. Soft room. And powdery. Yeah.
I like it.
Ode to Bateman. All right. And I think that's our week in Bateman.
Yeah. Very good.
We've managed to get a lot of mileage out of that. Out of someone else asking if they're interested in him.
Yeah.
So while we're in Celebrity Corner, I just wanted to... This is not a segment. I just had to bring up Jeff Goldblum because I can't help myself.
What is going on with Jeff Goldblum?
Apparently, some woman was stalking Jeff Goldblum.
No.
Yep. A judge has granted Jeff Goldblum a temporary restraining order from a woman who's been repeatedly ordered to stay away from the actor for years. So she had a restraining order that... her name is Linda Ransom. She's 49 years old. And she's from L.A. Apparently, the order that started in 2007 to stay away from him expired. And she got right back to it.
She had it on her calendar.
Yeah.
And she had like a heart around the day.
She'd been arrested 3 times after violating previous restraining orders. Goldblum first alerted authorities to her in 2001. So this woman has been at it for over a decade.
Wow.
After she attended one of his acting classes. And if I had known, I would have been there. Jeff Goldblum, right. Are you still doing acting classes?
Because we're going to be in the front row.
I would like to learn how to be a Jewish scientist in a film, in a sci-fi.
I would too.
Yeah. So she attended one of his acting classes and started waiting outside his home.
Oh, no.
I know. He wrote the court that the actions have caused him, quote unquote, substantial emotional distress over the years.
Oh.
Mr. Goldblum, can you blame her?
You can't.
Can you blame her?
You can't keep him away.
How sad is that? So, and it's a celebrity stalker.
Aw.
We do the stalking so you don't have to.
Aw. It's sad that, you know, these people... You know, develop these attachments,
yeah.
But you know, and it's sad for everybody, yeah, because he gets upset, everyone gets upset.
How would you feel? I mean, I can't imagine anyone stalking me. First of all, I don't think I pay enough attention. You would have to really shout, like, you'd have to come with a megaphone,
right?
In New York to let me know that you were stalking me. Otherwise, I just don't, I would
because you think
attention.
Of the things you don't notice.
Who cares? I would, especially if it's just like a regular person. How am I supposed to know?
Yeah.
A lot of people look alike to me. A lot of people look alike.
And some people, and you're approachable too. So people are going to come up to you and be like,
yeah.
What's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Where's the Empire State Building?
Yeah. And then a couple minutes later, if they did it again, I probably wouldn't
yeah,
recognize
oh, absolutely
them.
Not.
I don't have time for it. So if you're going to stalk people, ladies and gentlemen, do it in LA, I guess, where people
but,
pay attention.
But, you know,
attention.
I kind of think because she took the class and maybe, you know, she was fine before that. And then she had she was exposed to the Jeff Goldblum magic.
Maybe, yeah, he did one of those exercises.
Were they
with Meisner, where they had to repeat
and look into each other's
yep.
eyes,
and then she fell into it.
Yeah, so I think she could just a hardcore
crush. Jacques, Jeff Goldblum, Jacques.
Keep it under wraps, Jeff
yeah.
Goldblum.
So I have here a discount celebrity. These are two
Yay.
Gentlemen that you may or may not know. In this segment, we take an A-lister,
yeah, and then we give you their D-list,
yeah,
just in case you have a budget that you yeah. have to adhere to.
But today we're starting with like a B-lister.
Oh, we are.
And we're working our way down to F.
Okay.
So our B-lister
okay.
for today
who is
Dylan McDermott. You know who he is?
Of course I do.
Okay, what do you know him from?
Dylan McDermott, he was in The Family Stone.
With Sarah Jessica Parker?
Yeah.
That's it? Okay.
He was in a ton of things. And he was also married to Catherine
Keener.
Right,
he was married to Catherine Keener. Wow, nice.
I know who he is.
So he was born October 1961 in Waterbury, Connecticut. Birth name, Mark Anthony McDermott.
Okay.
It's an interesting story how he got changed and said. He is 6 feet tall, also known as 1.83 meters.
All right. That's
so,
solid.
His parents were teenagers when he was born.
Mm-hmm.
His mother was 15 and father 17.
See,
and
that's why he's good looking, because he had these
young
good looking... Like, hot to trot parents.
But it turns tragic.
Oh.
His father, Mac, was a pool hustler. And his parents separated. And when he was 5 years old, his mother was accidentally shot and killed by her live-in boyfriend, who was reportedly cleaning a gun when it went off.
Oh, no.
I know.
That's awful.
It is awful. And where I'm from, because I'm from quite a country area, everyone has guns. And people always say that. You know, I accidentally killed someone, or someone accidentally shoots themselves while they're cleaning a gun. Having taught riflery... It is really, really hard to do that.
Is
so
it really?
I always, yeah. It, why? For the first thing you do is make sure it's empty.
Oh my
the second
God.
Thing you do is never point it at anyone's head. It's always very sketchy to me. I'm not alleging anything. I'm just saying that's
it's
a little bit
from
off.
From your experience.
But luckily for him, when he was 15, his father met and married Eve Ensler of the Vagina Monologues.
No kidding.
Yep. And she encouraged him to go to acting school and then to go to Fordham University.
Get out.
And kind of like mentored him. And he changed his name to Dylan because she was going to have a kid and had a miscarriage. And she was going to name the kid Dylan.
No.
So he changed his name to Dylan. Isn't that nice?
That's really sweet. This is a beautiful story. Yeah, this should be like a movie.
It's really nice.
It should be a movie in itself.
Who
would play him? Him.
Well, this other guy, the discount guy, would play him. I'm going to tell you in a second.
Okay.
So
I tried to get it out of
you. He's married. He was married and divorced. He met his wife on the same day he got his first big acting break in The Line of Fire.
All right.
But that didn't work out.
It was Catherine Keener.
It wasn't Catherine Keener. It was Sheva Rose.
Oh, okay.
This is Dylan McDermott. Are you thinking about the other person? You might be thinking about the discount. We'll find
out
soon.
Do you have a picture? So I might be thinking of the right.
Play along. Oh. Interesting.
Okay.
So his favorite television show was I Dream of Jeannie. Mm-hmm. And he jokes about the fact that he's often confused with actor and musician, his discount, Dermot Mulroney. Booyah! Nice! Nice!
Oh, you got me. You got me hard. You let me go on.
I win that one.
You did win it.
His personal quote is, "My theory about actors is that we're all walking milk cartons. Expiration dates everywhere." Apparently, according to you, he's expired. Dylan McDermott.
McDreamy.
Mm-hmm. So, he has been in a lot of TV stuff. Some of his movies when he first started acting, Hamburger Hill, Twister, Steel Magnolias, and The Line of Fire, The Cowboy Way, Miracle on 34th Street. Mm-hmm. He was on The Practice for the entire time that it was on. And now he's in American Horror Story. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Okay, the TV series. So a lot of TV stuff. Ally McBeal, he was on a couple of episodes. He looks like he's done some sketchy movies. Mistress of Spices.
Oh, I saw that. That was so awful.
The West Texas Children's Story. Big Shots, a TV series.
I saw it for him, too, and it...
And then he was in something called The Douche, a video short where he played John Douche. Douche. He has coming up in 2012, The Campaign. Two rival North Carolina politicians with presidential aspirations tangle with one another, starring Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis, and Jason Sudeikis. The Perks of Being a Wallflower. An introvert freshman is taken under the wings of two seniors who welcome into the real world. Also, he's appearing with Logan Lerman, Emma Watson, and Ezra Miller. And then Nobody Walks. A family takes in a young artist into their home. Stars John Krasinski. I wish they would stop trying to say he's attractive because he's not.
He's just a boy.
He just looks like a boy. Mess. He looks like he's been carved out. Jane Levy and Olivia Thirby. And that's written by Lena Dunham.
Do you have a picture you can flash of me?
Yeah. Dylan McDermott.
Right.
So.
Okay, sorry.
All right, his discount is Dermot Mulroney.
Right.
Yes, okay. Dermot Mulroney. He was born in 1963 in Alexandria, Virginia. He is 5'9 and a half.
Oh.
1.77 meters.
But that, you know what that means.
He's 5'7, yeah. He was married to Catherine Keener.
That's, okay.
Okay. They're divorced. They have one child. He is an accomplished celloist and has played the cello for Melissa Etheridge and in the score to Mission Impossible 2. He is, what else want to say about him? He is sometimes confused with actor Dylan McDermott. And there's a slight resemblance between the two.
I have proved it.
Yeah. You have.
Can you do a side by side for me?
Yeah. Look at this. And we'll have these up on the website, on the Tumblr.
It's amazing, isn't it?
They do look a lot alike, and they both say that they look a lot alike. He has been in, most recently, he's been in The Gray.
Oh,
with
Liam
Neeson.
Who is?
Silent Witness, a TV movie.
Ew.
He was in J. Edgar. He starred as, he was in it, as Colonel Schwarzkopf, Storm and Norman.
What?
Yeah. He was in the Rockford Files TV movie, where he was Jim Rockford.
Oh, get out.
Yeah.
You didn't belong there.
He was in The Memory Keeper's Daughter, a TV movie, The Batman TV series as a voiceover, Georgia Rule, Zodiac, and The Family Stone.
That's...
Yeah.
You see, they really, the two of them, they really pulled it over my eyes.
But the reason why I like him is because he starred in Living in Oblivion with Steve Buscemi, which is a great film about making films. Mm-hmm. His earliest work is 1986, Shattered, If Your Kid's on Drugs, and he did After School Specials as well, also about not being on drugs.
Okay. So stay off the drugs.
Yeah. So these guys look alike. They do a lot of the same work. Oh, before I say that, what Dermot Mulroney has coming up right now. In 2012, Struck by Lightning.
Ew.
After being struck and killed by lightning, a young man recounts the way he blackmailed his fellow classmates into contributing to his literary magazine.
His Kickstarter account.
Yeah. Christina Hendricks, Sarah Hyland, and Dermot Mulroney.
Really? Is that the biggest thing I could think of when you die is to talk about this?
Stoker, 2012. A teenage girl mourning the death of her father deals with an uncle who mysteriously shows up to meet the family, starring Nicole Kidman.
Ew. Again.
Mia Wasikowska.
She plays the uncle?
I guess she plays the uncle. And Dermot Mulroney. But it's directed by Chan-Wook Park, who's an amazing director. And then Trade of Innocence. A couple grieving the loss of their own daughter set out to rescue young girls sold into sex slavery. Dermot Mulroney, Mira Sorvino, John Billingsley.
All right.
So, these gentlemen look alike. They both have, they play kind of similar roles. Kind of like, so okay, regular guys.
And they confused me.
They confused you. And they both admit they get confused with each other. So I would say Dylan McDermott.
They wake up in the morning and
they don't know who they are. And they have similar names. Dylan McDermott, Dermot Mulroney. Right? I'm saying that Dylan McDermott is the A-lister here. He's the top dog because of what he has coming up. With a Will Ferrell, Emma Watson, John Krasinski. Okay. And he's in a hit TV show right now. Dermot Mulroney, on the other hand, is working with Nicole Kidman.
Ew. Again, the
Mira Sorvino.
Head with the hanger, as some people call her.
And he's just not really up to scratch. But they're very close. So I would say that Dermot Mulroney is serving Dylan McDermott at 60%.
60?
40% off. For 40% off, you can get Dermot Mulroney. Neither of them are that amazing.
You know what? And the thing is, I wouldn't even know who I was getting.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know what? Maybe 75% then.
It might be. It might have to
be. You
didn't
know.
Because, like, I did not know it.
But Catherine Keener probably didn't know. She probably thought she was getting the other guy.
Oh.
She ends up with this guy. She gets divorced. So, Dylan McDermott, Dermot Mulroney. Good luck to you guys.
Very good.
They're both.
Well done. I tip my cap to you.
Douche. Douche. You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
A little thing. Oh, this is our segment called Advice on Advice.
Oh, awesome.
We find advice on the internet that's unqualified and it stinks.
Stinks, and we improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice, hence Advice on Advice.
Right. No. And I got this.
Is it Ms. Webb?
No. Okay. It's from Renee Payne. Renee Payne is a love reinvention specialist and a matchmaker for love and business.
Wow.
So if one doesn't work out, if you don't love them, just work with them.
Work with them. Mixing business with pleasure.
Yeah, she's a speaker for TV, radio host, and event producer.
And she says that.
She says that from 17 years of research studying communications, marketing, broadcasting, psychology, television production.
Is this her resume?
Yeah.
Or she got
right, theatrical study, commercial training, alternative health therapies, holistic medicine, energy research, world religions,
and
the healing.
And all of this stuff at...
And it all keeps spiraling down. Interpersonal relationships.
You know, the Learning Annex offers a lot of certificates.
And then image consulting. So it's like all the way down from actual degrees...
To scrapbooking.
To, you know, yeah, going to the... The annex to picking off, you know, little like ripping off from the bulletin board
and finding
in the community.
So what's her advice?
So somebody writes to her and says, "Dear Renee," calling her the love mechanic, because that's what she is.
That's a great name if you're a pros. Anyway, professional.
And he says his name is Steve. He says, "My girlfriend and I have been together a long time now, and her libido seems to have decreased substantially. Can you give me some advice on how I can help spice things up?"
That's it? That's all he has to say about it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of vague. I'm now critiquing the person asking for advice.
I know, right? I have a lot of questions about why this woman's libido has decreased.
And why he's saying libido, but anyway. He doesn't want to do it with you.
Yeah. And she says, "Dear Steve, women report that it is challenging to relax and de-stress, an important starting point for great sex. They complain that men don't notice the little things." So she's down there just guessing what she thinks is wrong.
Women report.
Yeah. Women do all the little things women do to make a home life comfortable. Cooking, cleaning, food, shopping. You know, as women do.
Mm-hmm. You know how we do.
Yeah. Laundry, driving kids around. And then everyone expects them to feel sexy at night after completing their daytime rituals.
Okay. All right.
Having the man help with mundane duties helps ease pressure. Mm-hmm. All right.
So, what's this, a.k.a. if you help her dry the dishes, you're looking at Bojanski.
Yeah, here's a few things.
You don't have to wait till Thursday.
Right. Men can do these things to help ease the stress, therefore allowing more sexual energy to fire up activities.
Wow. All right.
So, it says here, number one, remove some stress. Hire some help to do the cleaning, which is fine.
Okay.
Really, got to pay someone to get something around here, right?
Encourage her. It's like to clean itself.
Encourage her to pamper herself. Have her surprise her with a gift certificate for no reason. Be like, get that chin waxed.
Yeah.
You'll feel sexy.
How about getting those hooves filed down so you're not shredding me up at night? You know, cash.
The third is listen. Let her vent and give her a hug. Ew. Women feel.
This guy wants to get laid.
I know.
She's putting him up to housework. He's spending money, listening. I don't have time for that.
Women feel supported and loved by their mate as much as they're much more likely to get intimate with them.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. Exercise. What? Both of you need to work out and take time to rejuvenate your mind and body. This is like, she's like thinking, oh, she's probably put on a few pounds. She's not feeling too good. She's just making it up.
She's covering all bases here. Maybe she's tired. Maybe she feels unattractive. Maybe she's gained some weight. She's sluggish.
Yeah, and then if all that doesn't work, I guess, create a romantic environment and dim the lights. Play some seductive music. Light some candles. Wear something nice.
Huh? Is this for the guys? What is that? What is wear something nice? Mesh boxers? What is it?
I
always say if you want to wear something nice, you want to look attractive, I tell you that, stand next to a pile of cash.
Right, and that'll do. Or wear the t-shirt that has the tuxedo print on the front.
Yes, that's good. The frilly tuxedo.
Oh, and it's a surprise her, buy her lingerie and ask her to model it for you.
No. Do not do that.
That's the worst thing. First of all, you never buy a woman lingerie.
Not like that. You can get her.
Put it on.
You could buy her some lingerie if you want, but that's not going to be like a gift thing. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, I don't know if there's any good. If you're getting her a bunch of things,
and one of those things is lingerie, you have to know she likes it.
Yeah.
You cannot buy some random lingerie and then say, put it on and walk around, lady.
How about,
that's strut. For him.
Just, you know, a gift certificate for lingerie. It's nice.
Yeah, that's fine. But like, so all these things that she's putting down there, first of all, she's, again, just guessing.
Yeah. Well, the guy hasn't said anything.
Yeah.
Well, I think this advice is too long. I think that the advice needs to be, why don't you just ask her, look, how come you don't want to get it on anymore?
Well, and then also, it doesn't.
Is that mentioned?
And it's changing the woman, too.
Yeah.
Why doesn't she should have said, take a good long look in the mirror.
Sir, son. You've got a small pecker.
Yeah, and your face is below average.
Why the long face? Why the long face?
And you stink?
Yes.
You haven't showered in a while, right? And you also brought a prostitute home. These are all
things that make women feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the guy, you know what? She's fucking somebody else.
I know, that could be the other thing, too.
Her libido's fine outside with someone
away
else.
Away from you.
Yeah. Look at you. I think a good advice would be have a look in the mirror, son.
Yeah, that's it. So she's already going, to the woman. Like, yeah. It must be her.
No, it's probably the dude.
It's him.
You need to put it on your woman, right, son.
His name is Steve.
Steve. Probably not even his real name. Probably Alan. I'm just trying to think of an unsexy name. Sorry if your name's Alan. Putting it out there. Hubert.
Yeah, it's not sexy.
She wrote like 2 pages on this.
Yeah, she's just going on. Like, these are all things. It's all about her.
You know why? Because nobody's writing her.
Yeah.
If anyone wrote that.
Ew. This is terrible advice.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? But then again, if it doesn't work out, maybe you could go into business with her.
Yeah. If that doesn't work out. The love mechanic.
And look at the way she's posed.
Wow.
Listener, she's got upswept hairdo, off-the-shoulder outfit.
Extremely off-the-shoulder.
And then her hands are wrapped around her waist.
Like she's pregnant.
Yeah, like or like has a tummy ache, but she's smiling.
This is crazy.
That's the worst pose picture I've ever seen in my life. That's the worst pose. It's like,
where can we find her? Let's stay connected with her. We're going to join her networks.
Okay.
She's on Twitter. We're going to follow her.
We're going to follow her and see. Who told her to put her hands there?
I don't know.
That's terrible advice.
Probably she took a class. So I have what I think is a Hey You Didn't Know It.
All right.
So I found this. My husband sent this to me from the New York Law Journal.
Okay.
So you know it's legal.
Oh, boy.
TV networks argue live streaming threatens revenues. Of course it does. You guys didn't know about that?
You didn't know about the free content.
Free content might cut into your trying to charge people for content or trying to get people to advertise. A CBS executive testified yesterday that a service that streams broadcast channels over the internet for a monthly fee is threatening immediate harm to the revenues of broadcasters and TV stations and should be stopped.
Okay.
So the more I read this article, the more, because sometimes you read these articles and someone is doing something a little sneaky, a little underhanded, but they got pluck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're give it to the, one for the little
they
guy.
They got a hustle going on.
So this guy, Barry Diller, already I like him.
Yeah, it's Barry Diller it's Barry time. Diller.
Yeah, you can just imagine a guy with like a Barry. Loud bow tie and he's going to make a sale.
Barry Diller Entertainment.
Yeah, so a Barry Diller funded startup called Aereo. Basically, what this guy does has the signal that comes off the Empire State Building.
Okay.
He steals signal from that.
Sweet.
Through hundreds of thousands, it sounds like, of tiny antennas in some building in Brooklyn. And then people pay for that antenna and they get to watch TV from it.
Oh, you're kidding.
So this guy, first of all, there's nothing legal about that at all. It would be as if someone came into the Hey You Know It studio with another microphone.
And they
was just taking it and putting it somewhere in Brooklyn.
And charging people.
And charging $12 a month. So you get to see all this stuff for free. It grabs over-the-air signals and directs them to hundreds of thousands of tiny antennas on the 10th floor of a Brooklyn building.
Okay. All right?
And for $12, you can get access. There are currently several thousand subscribers, and he hopes that, there's going to be a lot more in other cities. The networks claim, and I say this too, that it's pure theft. And it's potentially devastating attack on the economic basis of the TV industry carefully constructed by Congress. The reason they have a problem with it is because those viewers are not measured by Nielsen ratings.
Okay.
And they're saying that if you're not measured by a Nielsen rating, the viewer doesn't exist.
But not everybody's... Nobody knows how Nielsen ratings
work. Well, this is when I was a kid, they used to send us the Nielsen books, and we used to have to fill them out and send them in because the part of Maryland that I'm in is like a test area. We used to get all the movies first, whatever.
You got all the medicine.
Everything.
Hey, check it out.
My mom, single mom and me, we are two black women in a house. Mm-hmm. We counted for like 500,000 people.
Oh, my God.
So according to what I was writing down, 500,000 people were watching Doctor Who. 500,000 people are watching Mighty Python. Like, they take one person and they amplify it.
So
it's all...
But who says they were going to get a Nielsen person anyway?
Who knows? Who knows, right?
That's
so, basically, they're saying... the guy, Barry Diller's lawyer, is saying, it's not Barry Diller who's doing it. He's not stealing it. It's the consumer who's doing it. The $12 guy is doing it. Talk to him about it.
Yeah.
He's like, we're just making it possible.
Collecting the money.
That's why you gotta love a lawyer. I like this guy. And then but on the other side they say, why should they have to pay us when other people are providing it for free? That's a good question. It's a really good question. So somehow it is completely legal to steal like a
something
signal.
That's for free.
Yeah, and they're saying, hey, look, these are just $12 guys doing this. It's them. Anybody could do it.
It's kind of like the whole water scam. Water is free. Yep. Somebody put it in a bottle and put it in a price tag on it, and we all do it. We buy it.
Well, except that usually they're not. It's like if someone came to your house and started filling up from your tap and selling it.
Basically.
You would be CBS.
Yeah.
And that person would be Barry Diller. You'd be like, hey, it's not me. It's Jaquetta. She's buying it.
Right.
She doesn't buy it.
She's
I wouldn't steal it.
She's
making me do it. So, really? First of all, hey, you didn't know it, that live streaming was going to eat into the TV networks. And also, really, Mr. Diller?
You didn't know it's stealing.
You didn't know it's stealing. I love it. Thank you, New York
Wonderful.
Law Journal. Amazing. How can we do this? We need to get in between the transmission and delivery of something and be like, it's not us. This is like the mob.
Else.
It fell off a truck.
Right.
The road was bumpy. Not our fault.
It was there.
They shouldn't have bought it.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have bought it.
fascinating secret society photos, but there's no photos with
this. I love the way I was fascinated when you said it. Like, this is going to be incredible.
Yeah.
And then you petered out at photos. There's nothing.
Yeah, but they're talking about... I've been carrying this around with me, too, since...
Yeah, that in your pocket?
Yeah.
Keep that with you.
All right.
It's a chestnut.
It's about secret societies hidden in plain sight.
Okay. I'm going
to start talking about Freemasonry, Oddfellows, Shriners, Woodmen of the World, Red Men, Jesters, Druids.
Red Men?
Yeah.
Can I tell you, I have a Freemasons. When I was in D.C., uh-huh. I parked my car outside of the Freemasons, so it was around the corner, uh-huh. and on the ground was a...
secret.
It was a packet. And oh. I opened up the packet, and inside were all these pictures of, like, how they lay out their stuff on the altars.
Sweet.
And then
there was
a list of names in it. So I was like, you know what? I'll just take one thing from here. I'll return it, because this looks pretty important. And it's D.C., and in D.C., you never know who's seen you do something. Like,
okay.
I don't need to end up, like, you know, underneath the Pentagon somewhere, because I saw something I wasn't supposed to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the first name on the list, and I called, and I said, hi, how'd you get this number? So then I talked to this guy, whatever, so we arranged a meeting.
Yeah.
And I did the handoff. I gave him the packet of information that had all the phone numbers of all the Masons in it, like everything. I kept one thing, and he gave me a couple of pizzas.
Gave you some pizzas?
Some pizzas.
Like a full, like cooked pizzas?
Cooked
like,
pizzas. And I was like, should I eat these
them?
Pizzas? I was a little bit afraid, but he seemed like a nice guy. We took the pizzas back to my house, and I ate them.
And you were okay.
Yeah, but I think he thought I was younger.
Oh.
Because, you know what I mean? Only a young person would do something like that.
Right,
I was like,
hey.
I found your folder.
Of secret information.
But they had every symbol you can imagine.
Like, oh,
Star David, crosses, swastika, the eye of ISIS.
ISIS,
like,
right.
Everything.
Wow, that's so weird. This could have been another whole movie
yep,
for you.
It could have been a film.
It could have went a whole different
way. I think
Tom
Hanks already did that movie, though.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but this is your version.
This is mine.
You weren't studying anything. You weren't after clues. You
nope.
didn't care about the clues.
It's
just
a packet and some pizza.
You got all the answers.
Yeah, I got
all
the answers.
Well, the thing is that all these secret societies existed, do exist. And the percentage, like most people were really attracted to learning esoteric wisdom. That's why they joined the groups to learn all this information. Basically, one third of the population of the world has belonged to among 600 different sects of different secret societies.
What?
So
how secret is that?
Whatever sect you are involved in, whatever society you're involved in, it's one third. So one out of three people that you know is a secret society member.
Carlo.
Because
it's not
right?
us.
I know, right? Well, you know he's got to be.
He's in the Cashmere Mafia.
Yeah, Carlo is, listeners, if you listen to our Nick Cage episode.
That's the sect he's in. He's in the Nouveau Shamanic
right.
cult.
Yeah, he did the Nick Cage episode for the,
with
us a couple of
episodes
ago.
I'm not a joiner. I don't think you are either.
No, I'm not
I don't like
joiner.
To join anything. Don't even ask me.
Yeah, well, they say, what's the attraction of belonging to the groups? So, small percentage want to learn wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of them all want to meet with friends and have an excuse
and
to
party.
Have a drink. Yeah.
And wear a hat, like a fur hat with a moose
yeah.
thing on it.
And then they want to hang out with people who have the same religious and political beliefs.
Blah.
Which is like, look, you can't do that all the time. You have
no,
to get out
you
of
gotta
here.
Get out. I mean, look, I am a libertarian, but the last thing I want to do is be hanging out with a bunch of libertarians all the time.
Right.
Or black people, or women, or any of the other short people, any other groups I belong to. Women with low voices. It gets old.
And also a good number of people belonged to them because there was life insurance and health insurance involved.
Really?
Years ago, there was a time.
So they used to actually, like a guild, they used to
yeah.
actually do stuff.
Yeah, so your dues went to the whole thing and you got some benefits out of it as well. And this was at a time when you didn't really have that.
Oh, that makes sense.
But now...
It's social.
The secret groups have dropped off because of television, video games, and the internet. And fast food and microwaves, because they would get together to eat, but now it's really easy to eat elsewhere.
So let me get this straight. People join the Illuminati for a meal,
yeah.
is what you're saying?
Some
and now
insurance.
You can microwave your popcorn at home. No longer
like whatever. And you have everything you need at home to entertain you. And also now because of like things like Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're in that cult?
Yeah, where you can kind of socialize with other people without having to get up out of your seat and go somewhere. It could be like whoever.
I come here to socialize. This is my secret group. It's available on iTunes every Monday.
Right.
and Stitcher Radio.
Yeah, and so these secret societies are having a hard time attracting new members.
And first of all, maybe not be so secret.
Yeah, and then also there's usually like something like this one group has 32 different degrees in their hierarchy that you have to obtain certain wisdom to go up the ladder. So sometimes, you know, you can learn this in a day or two now, if you really
Google it.
Yeah, so you can really get to be a raised member, that kind of thing. And all these groups are on a decline, but the only ones that are on the upswing are
Scientology,
police and military groups.
Oh, the fraternal
organizations. They're the only ones that go up.
But they do benevolent. I mean, they have a lot of things that they do. They raise money. They take. Mm-hmm. They actually take care of each other. Unlike a lot of unions and fraternal orders, they actually do. When something happens to a firefighter, or
they get together and do something about it. Yeah, but that's really it. So that's our secret societies are just kind of falling away
because nobody wants to do it anymore.
Nobody wants to do it, and if they do it, they have to do it fast.
Before it's all over.
Get in and get out.
Always just assume because of the type of person that I am, I would never be allowed into any of those.
Yeah, I don't like groups.
Yeah.
I don't like groups either.
I'm in the Groucho Marx of not wanting to belong to any club that would have me as a member.
Right. That and also I don't want to be around them either.
Yeah, once, and I'm cheap. Why do I want to be around people like me?
I don't like going to, yeah. Once I was a realtor in one part of my life. And I had to go to a seminar, and I looked around at all the realtors, and I'm like, I don't want to be like one of these people.
Well, did you stand up out of your seat when there's a quiet moment? Like, I don't want to be like you people. Look at yourselves.
Look at you.
Yeah, you're a mess.
What have you
become?
You
think I want to be like this? I'm out of here. Who's with me? One person. Me. I find groups to be freaky.
Yeah.
I'm just very pessimistic about human beings in general, and I think that every group eventually becomes like Lord of the Flies.
Yes.
Like they always...
It's a whole pecking order. Yeah. Somebody's going to get... be on top.
Once they're all congealed into a nice little neat group, then they want to like go after some other group.
Yes.
Like our friends, the Nazis. That's how I feel about groups. I'm not into it.
Me neither.
You got to mix it up.
So goodbye, good riddance, secret groups. We don't care. So thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Why not stay in touch with us during the week? And you could do that by following us on Twitter or on Tumblr. Both are free and both are super easy, like us.
Yeah.
Our shows can also be heard on Stitcher Radio. That's Stitcher.com.
Help make us a Stitcher Radio 100, people. We're low down in the ranks. In fact, we're not even ranked.
We're not ranked.
Go to Stitcher.com and download the app. Put it in your car.
Tell your friends. Tell any... Anybody that you know.
Who has a car.
Right. Or an iPhone.
Yeah.
So just go ahead and do it. And then you can also go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review, which we will read on our next show.
Yep. We will read it. You can put your manifesto in there. You can say something about your husband.
We will read it. You can say something. If you know either one of us, you can make us say whatever you want. You are the puppet master. We are your puppets.
Yep. I'll even quote, I don't know. Who would I quote? Who's someone I don't like? I don't even know.
Yeah, Reggie Watts.
Blech.
You would quote him.
No, I wouldn't. Yes, please don't do that, people.
Right. Then I'd have to
don't
take
make me do it. All right. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
You don't
like Yetis.
I don't like Yetis. I know they don't exist, but that does not... I mean, that's an irrational fear, isn't it?
It's all right, but no, you don't really know if they're there or not.
I hope not. If I see one, I'll shoot it. That's not the position I take on Yeti or any of those.
I hope you have a gun. I hope you're prepared for this, the Yeti apocalypse.
I mean, in my dream, I guess I should pack heat and be ready.
Oh, you know what? In the Yeti apocalypse, what's going to happen? It's because of global warming and the water.
Aren't they already hot?
No. Stay with me here. This is what happens. The polar ice caps melt, flooding everything. And so the only livable spaces are the mountaintops where all the Yeti are. And the people who survive have to get...
So we get up there and the Yeti are like,
what's going on? What are you doing here?
We've been rolling deep up here in these hills for a millennia.
And it's a slaughter.
And it's a slaughter.
I won't tell you
who comes out on top. Yeah. Something tells me it's not people.
Yeah. See, so that is my Yeti apocalypse movie. What do you
A Yeti apocalypse? All right. Like anything you throw out there, I'm like, I'll buy it.
Sure.
It's no worse than Terminator Salvation.
No kidding.